Lesson number 12. Behind the Story. It has often been observed that mankind learns little from history. The Bible contains history as God would write it. These records have been preserved for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. We should therefore study the Bible to learn from true history how to meet the problems of today and tomorrow. As we reread Nehemiah, we discover that over a dozen times he calls on God for help. His prayers are very short, very simple, sometimes only, "Remember me." That prayer was extremely effective by the thief on the cross. The thought of God's nearness was never far from Nehemiah's mind. He knew that wherever he was, whatever he was doing, God was right there, ready to help him in every time of need. Both Ezra and Nehemiah interpreted every favorable development as a sign of God's blessing. Do we? Do we read these signs? Do we read the blessings of every day as indexes of God's proximity? Do we credit him for his oversight in everything? But while aware of the contribution of heaven in their affairs, both Ezra and Nehemiah stressed the part played by human cooperation. God opened the door. Man must walk through it. In fact, all heaven is waiting for men and women to whom God can reveal the power of Christianity. Church is God's agency, the proclamation of truth, empowered by him to do a sacred work. And if she is loyal to him, obedient to all his commandments, there will dwell within her the excellency of divine grace. Acts of the Apostles 6:90. God's remnant people. During the period of history covered by Ezra and Nehemiah, only a small remnant availed themselves of the opportunity to return from the places of their captivity to the promised land. In fact, some 50,000 came in the first wave and 8,000 later. The idea of a faithful remnant who puts its trust completely in God's providences pervades Scripture. A faithful remnant. There have always been only a faithful remnant, ready to pass through opening providences, ready to separate themselves from worldly environments and friends and entanglements, prepared for vigilance and struggle. There is constant danger, Ellen White warns, that the professing Christians will come to think that in order to have influence with worldlings, they must to a certain extent conform to the world. But though such a course may appear to afford great advantages, always ends in spiritual loss. The remnant people standing before the world as reformers are to show that the law of God is the foundation of all enduring reform. Part number 3. God's restored worship. These two books emphasize two important areas which God required his people to care for. First, the restoration of the wall of the city of Jerusalem, all that it suggested. Second, rebuilding the temple and restoring the worship of God. The wall in Scripture is a sign of the law of God. We talk about a breach in the wall. Isaiah 58. They built a wall around the vineyard. Isaiah 5. The wall is the Ten Commandments. In the restoration of the wall, Israel was telling the people, in effect, "We're keeping our enemies out. We're keeping ourselves safe." The first thing the returned exiles did before working on their homes was security, was to build the altar. On it the burnt offering of full consecration was daily presented to God, signifying the dedication of the entire nation. On it the sacrifice representing the Savior was presented. Prayers and confessions were made. God was worshipped. Another feature of these books is the redemption of the sacred annual festivals. These were both commemorative of the wonderful providences in the history of God's people and also prophetic of what the Messiah would accomplish. Today, the Sabbath, baptism, the Lord's Supper with foot washing have the same influence. They are commemorative, they are prophetic of the life of Christ. Part number 4. God's response to prayer. As I noted, there are many references to prayer in these books. The presence of God pervades all the activities mentioned. In the great controversy, there are two masters, God and Satan. Each has followers. As Paul said in Romans 14, to his own master he stands or falls, whether he wants to keep one day, or all days, or no days. Or to the Lord, to his own master he stands or falls. If he wants to eat clean meats, vegetarian food, meat offered to idols, to his own master he stands or falls. When a person has taken his stand under the banner of Satan, the devil says in effect, leave him alone, he's mine. But as soon as he cries out, Lord, help me, he moves away from Satan to another master who is his Lord, and all heaven comes to his aid. When I intercede on his behalf, I throw around him a wall of influence which emanates from God. God is able to do for us when we pray to him what he can't do for us when we don't pray. Intercessory prayer is a vital part of the great controversy. Steps to Christ emphasizes there is no time or place in which it is inappropriate to offer a petition to God. In the crowds of the street, in the midst of a business engagement, we may send up a petition to God and plead for divine guidance, as did Nehemiah when he made his request before King Artaxerxes. A closet of communion may be found wherever we are. Whatever we do, we're driving a car, we're starting a car, we just miss, we make a mistake in our driving. Thank God, ask him to help us concentrate. We're going to read something. We've got half an hour to get some information. Say, Lord, help me get half an hour's work. Everything. Open the Bible. Lord, help me understand this. Do the simple tasks of life. Please help me to do this. I'm interested in woodwork. Every time I switch the motor on for my circular saw, say, Lord, help me. I've got something that's dangerous perhaps on my jointer or whatever. Lord, help me. If we keep constantly in mind that the Lord is there, this becomes a habit of blessing. Part number 5. God's written word. The period of Ezra saw great strides being taken in ensuring that the scriptures were available to all. Ezra and his helpers collected all the available manuscripts of the Bible, and for the first time in history, organized the Old Testament that we now have. Although they recognized that Moses and other inspired writers were the penmen, they clearly saw that Jehovah was the real author. As Ezra and the other Levitical helpers read to the people from Deuteronomy and other Mosaic writings, a reformation took place. From the time of Ezra, the Jews became known as the people of the book. Without the Spirit of God, however, knowledge of his word is of no avail. One may be familiar with the commands and promises of the Bible, but unless the Spirit of God sets the truth home, character will not be transformed. The plan of salvation is glorified before us. The thought of Calvary awakens living sacred emotions as we read the Bible. Praise to God and the Lamb will be in our hearts. But we must remember that through it all, from it all, the grace of the Spirit must fill our hearts and minds. As we think of Ezra and his contribution, Nehemiah, his contribution, word, prayer, work, faith come to take their place in our lives that they ought to.